Everyone, today we're going to be discussing more Hilchos Ribbis regarding savings accounts and taking out loans, mortgages, and stuff. It's funny, after I prepared the shiur this week, I saw an article by Rabbi Yair Hoffman on Quicken Loans, which is an online way to take out loans, which apparently is owned, I think he said 77% is owned by Jews. And he had the whole, pretty much the same discussion we're having here. If you want to look at the article there as well, it's very, very, very shayach on many cases. So let's discuss the beginning. The Halacha in Shulchan Aruch tells us Hilchos Ribbis Siman Kuf Samiches that Ma'osav Shel Yisrael. If there's money, a Jew has money. Mufkadim Biad Oved Kochavim, which he gave money to a non-Jew. So non-Jew has now my money. V'Hilva Osam Li Yisrael Ribbis. And now that non-Jew, as my agent, gives the money with their interest to another Jew. So he's my shliach. I'm lending money to Ribbis. But there's a shliach of the goy who's the one processing this loan. So the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Im hayu ba'achrias havodi kachavim moder l'kiach haribis." If the goy is responsible for any loss of money, so then that's permitted because it's really his. He's responsible for what's going on. But im hayu ba'achrias Yisrael aser. But if it's my responsibility, if I give him money, and the money gets lost somewhere along the way, it's my loss. So in essence, it's really my money, even though it's going through the conduit of a goy, it's my money going from a Yisrael to Yisrael beribis. That's an iser of collecting ribis. And the Taz quotes very importantly, this is ribis ktsuta, which is another way of saying this is called ribis daraisa. This is an iser, ribis daraisa, to lend money beribis, even if it's through the agent of a non-Jew. So now, the Sefer Kitta Shulchan Aruch, written by Rav Shlomo Gansfried from Hungary, well known. Rav Shecht always recommends people who want to learn halacha well, the first sefer to always learn is Kitta Shulchan Aruch, which is a summary of the important halachas of Shulchan Aruch. After learning Kitta Shulchan Aruch, one should then move to Chai Adam. After Chai Adam, one should then move to Mishnah Berurah. If you learn Mishnah Berurah first, it's extremely dense, it's overwhelming, it's hard to understand. Once you learn all the basics, Mishnah Berurah is pretty easy. Once you've learned through Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and the Nosek Halim, Mishnah Berurah pretty much quotes everything and just has how we paskin, how he thinks to paskin. But it's very hard to go through Mishnah Berurah as your first limud in halacha. So Kitta Shulchan Aruch is usually the first thing one should learn. So look what the Kitta Shulchan Aruch writes, number 3. Lachain b'makom sheyesh kvutzotz maos, which is a savings account, a personal savings account. Now what a savings account is, if I give money to the bank, I collect interest. In other words, I'm lending my money to the bank, and I'm collecting interest from the bank. I'm the malvin. Normally we think of the banks giving out money. But when you put money saved away, it's not only to protect you, you're actually giving them a loan and you're collecting interest. Now, the interest might not be so much money, but it still is considered ribbis. So he writes, when a person gives money in a savings, places money in a savings account, sheyesh liyisrael chalakim, they have stocks in it, meaning I'm putting my money, Jews are putting money into that bank. V'yisrael lovim misham ribbis. So now my money is in the bank. My money, let's say, is in Chase. So I have money there. Now Chase takes my money and gives it to another Jew who's going to take out a mortgage, so they're using my money I put in Chase to collect mortgage, and they're collecting interest from that other Jew who's just bought a house. So my money's being used, so this is the same exact case. A Yisrael to Yisrael, even though Chase, the non-Jew in the middle, is the one really overseeing this loan, it's my money that's going to be collecting interest from another Jew. And he says, therefore, afa pi shamamonim hema Ovdei Kochavim, even though the non-Jews are the ones writing these loans, is still Mikol Makom Nirali De Isser Gamarhu. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's an Isser Gamar. So for any of us to place money in our savings account, it's very likely that money is eventually going to go to a Jew who's taking out a loan or a mortgage. That's going to be an Isser Deraisa, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So we have a lot of problems here. So the Rama writes in number 4, Yeshomim, there are those who say, Shemuter li Yisrael lomar lechaveiro Yisrael, leich vehilvi li maos miploni Yisrael berubis. The Rama writes, for up until now we've been discussing using a non-Jewish agent. Let's say I'm using a Jewish agent. I could tell my friend, Reuven, go borrow from me from that other Jew. So now there are three parties involved. There's a Malvin Lova, who are both Yisrael, which is also to do ribis directly. If you have a middleman, another yid in the middle, then that would be permitted. There would not be iser deraisa ribis if there's a middleman who's a Jew. Why? Very strange thing. So says the Rama explaining, Umutir lases achar kacha ribis l'shliach laviolo. As long as you use a middleman, it's okay. Dilo usra Torah ella ribis haba mialove l'malve. The iser ribis only applies when it goes direct from one hand to the next, from a malve to a love. So let's finish the line, we'll see it in a second. Then he says, the shliach ain't a oseh shemisser. The shliach didn't do an issue. It wasn't his money. He didn't do anything wrong. And the high ribis lavdi dehu, it's not his money. So I send this agent to do my iser. So he did it. So shluchos adam kamoso. So when he does it, just like if I send him to do kedushin for me, so it's as if I do kedushin. So I send him to do ribis. So it's as if I'm doing ribis. Nope. Because what ain shliach ledvar vera? There is no iser. So for me, there's no iser because he did the ribis, not me. And for him, there's no ribis because it's not his money. He's not collecting any ribis here. So when you use a yid as your shliach, it actually is permitted to send collect ribis through this. Shliach. Yes.
Is there any
Well, so that might be. We'll see how we paskin might be part of the calculation. But right now, from the Ramah, ain shliach l'dvar vera. So I didn't do an iser. The shliach is the one who really oversaw the ribis, and the shliach didn't do an iser because it's not his money. So everything's fine. This is the way to circumvent lending beribis from one Jew to another Jew.
But through a goy, you can't do it.
So let's see. So what Darchei Moshe says. What? We'll see. There could be the Yeshlichas. Well, that's the machloket. So normally we assume, as Eitan said, Ein Shlichas Lagoy. There is no Shlichas for a Goy at all. There are two areas in Shas where Rashi says Yesh Shlichas Lagoy. Anyone know the two places Rashi says?
What?
Where Rashi, or although the Gemara says Ein Shlichas Lagoy, there are two places where Rashi says Yesh Shlichas Lagoy. One should be obvious, because of today's year. Ribis, okay. And the other one, anyone know the other case?
In Yevamos by an aguna?
Nope. I don't know. Shabbos. We're in Shabbos? Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum, there's three reasons why Amir La'akum is usher. And Shabbos, one of the reasons Rashi says in Shabbos and Avodah Zarah is Yesh Shlichas Lagoy. It's a Chumrah, but Yesh Shlichas Lagoy for Shabbos, Im Amir La'akum, and Yesh Shlichas Lagoy in the world of Ribis. So that's what the Darchei Moshe says. That although when I send a yid to me, my shliach, it's completely mutter, ain shliach devar vera, when it comes to a goy, look at number five, we're reading just the bold here, d'chol zeh, very good, d'chol zeh lo ayri el yisrael shesholech l'goy, d'zehu aser l'rashi, Rashi says it's aser, d'sfir le, Rashi holds the yesh shlichas l'goy, not across the board, but in those two examples I told you, by ribis and by Shabbos, because of the chumrah that they have. So there is Yesh Shlichas Lagoy, and as David just said, V'lo Shayach Lomar Ein Shlich Dvar Vera. But don't we have another concept? Ein Shlich Dvar Vera. If I send the Shlich to do an Avera, I don't get hit with it. It's his Avera, not my Avera. Ein Shlich Dvar Vera. The Shlichas doesn't carry an Avera through. That's not Shayach for a Goy. Why is it not Shayach for a Goy? Because there's no Isser. He didn't do anything wrong. So for him, there's no Isser of Ribis. So what's the problem Ein Shlich in general? Why do we say Ein Shlich L'dvar Vera? What's the Svara? Right, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Mishomim. Why is it my fault? He should listen to the Rav. He should listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he not listening to me? He acted on his own. But that's only when he had an option to act on his own, when it was Asur Mutter. When he's doing something that's completely Mutter, we don't apply the Din of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Mishomim. He's just doing what he's allowed to do, and therefore you do say, Yesh Shliach L'Goy, and I do get hit with the Isser Ribis. That's only when you send a Goy to do the Shlichas. But when you send a Yid, then we say, Ein Shlich Devar Vera, and it's completely Mutter according to this Ramah. So if you now, right now where we hold,
that
you try to...
Right,
at this stage, it sounds like Mutter Deraisa, that you're allowed to send ribis as long as there's a middleman, a Jewish middleman, you could send directly a loan. So if I have money in the savings account, and now I ensure that any money that's coming from me, however you could discern that or not, but let's say you can, so I make sure that it's a Jewish mortgage broker taking my money to lend to another Jew, this would be permitted according to this stage.
So you say angel sleep is
in the bar. Mm-hmm. It's not, because a guy doesn't have to keep ribis. So there's no...
The Jew.
Correct.
Which is Devar Avera.
So that's a case. Let's say I send the Jew to kill someone. So he gets an Issa of Killin, just like I have an Issa of Killin. But to lend my money in Ribbis, he has no Issa of lending my money in Ribbis. There's no Issa for him. If it's his money, there's an Avera. But he's not doing an Avera by lending my Ribbis, my money for Ribbis. So that's why there's no case, there's no situation here of Ein Shlech Levar Avera. He doesn't have an Issa here. Fine. So the Ramah writes in number 6, it really goes to the next page. Lifnei Iver? No, because there's no Isser involved. That's Isser's only Malva to Lova directly. There's no Isser.
But he's not really the one lending. He's just the
Shliach. See, but he does that Maisa. He completes that transaction. And the way the Ramah understands it, only if it goes from one hand to the next hand directly, is there an Isser Ribbis. But once it goes around, there's no longer an Isser Ribbis. So how do we paskin? Now the Ramah concludes in the top of page number 2. V'chein Iker, that's the true halacha, that you are allowed to lend beribis with a Jew as a middleman. V'afagav d'yesh mefakpekim behetz u'machmirin la'asr. Even though there are those who are not so comfortable with such a heter, yesh lismoch alav le'esat tzorech. Now he pulls back a lot. This is only a heter if there's a real tzorech, but in general, one really shouldn't rely on this. But then he makes a very important another qualification in the bold. Aval im shliach hamalve halove, im shliach hamalve halove lelove, beribis va'asa shtar al shem hamilva, then havikilu halove lo hamilva atzmo va'aser. If there's a document involved, even though you're using a shliach as a middleman, that document now bridges the malva lova much closer to each other, and that's viewed as more direct. And that would be usher. So once there's a document involved, which all banks, of course, they're going through documents, then even though there might be a Jewish agent involved, that's not going to help us anymore. So now how in the world are you able to leave money in a savings account? That's really the problem here.
It can't be that, I mean, they're making the money on what they're lending out. Well, that has no chance. They're giving you 1/10 to 1%, and they're charging 5%. So it can't be...
No, but you're still making, that still is ribbis. Even though ribbis might be very, very small, you're still getting some ribbis.
No, but you're getting that from the bank regardless of whether they lend the money.
The fact that they guarantee it, it doesn't go directly. But still, in the end of the day, your money is, because they're so sure that your money is going to be lent elsewhere, it's going to produce ribbis, and it's going to end up being able to pay you, even though it's less than that amount of ribbis, it's still some level of it. So that's part of the next discussion. Is my money really being given to that Jew? There are millions and billions of dollars in here. How do you discern which money is being given to which lova?
Plus, they have to keep a certain amount that they can't lend.
Right, so you have to have people able to give people the money if they want to take money out.
But isn't that a case of the acharyut hagoy? It is a case of acharyut, because they're going to give it to you anyway.
So we're going to get to that point at the end. When it comes to a corporation where there's no personal liability, that's another discussion. But right now we're assuming personal liability is what's going on here. And if I lose my money, I lost my money. There's no one responsible to pay me back anymore. But right now we haven't gotten to that point just yet. So now comes along the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim is also the Kitta Shulchan Aruch. This is his footnotes on the Kitta Shulchan Aruch. He actually, in his lifetime, they had printed 14 different editions of Kitta Shulchan Aruch. They had changed a few things around. So he writes in Lechem Apanim right now. I meant to underline it for you guys. You don't have it underlined, but just bear with me here. He writes, Ein biyardeya, v'af dekan, gam malvin velovim ein yehudim muravim. There's people whose Jews and non-Jewish money that's mixed together. Probably only a small percentage of the money, it could be a large percentage of the money, is owned by Jews of that whichever is in a Chase Bank or Citibank, whatever you use, even though there's a Jewish money, there's also non-Jewish money. So who says the money that I'm going to, that I'm going to that lova? Maybe the money that I'm putting in is going to go to a non-Jew. And the non-Jewish money is the ones that are going to a Jew. And that'll be great. And that's called Breira. Breira is you could decide which money is going to which one. Now the Gemara has a discussion, how do we paskin? Is there such a concept as Breira? Could I say that money, even though once it's all fungible, you have no idea who owns what, could you say that money is going to go to the non-Jew and this money is going to go to the Jew? Could you really say that? Is there yesh breira? Could you decide that? Or do we say, ain breira? You can't decide. It's not up to you. And it's all considered one big melting pot. How do we paskin? Anybody remember how you paskin by breira?
In Beitza?
I don't think Gemara there says. I think it's a Gemara in Erevin that paskins. That we say when it comes to... Remember? No?
Ain
breira.
No, wrong. It's a chilek. What's a chilek? By dine deraisa or machmir... Ein Brera. By Dine Dirabanan, we say Yesh Brera. So that's a very important chilek. Gemara and Erevin, I believe. Very important. Yesh Brera, you could decide by Dine Dirabanan. We can be Mekil by Dine Dirabanan. This goes there. By Dine Diraisa, we say Ein Brera. The case is, the Gemara talks about, let's say I've got Chuma Midirabanan. I've got now a pot of Chuma here and a pot of Chulin. And I got an apple that's Chuma, let's say an apple that's Chulin. And one goes into one. We don't know which goes into which one. So Gemara says, Tolan, we can assume that the Chuma one went into the Chuma pot, and the Chulin one went into the Chulin pot. That's Yesh Brera. The Gemara says, how could you make such a decision? Because we're talking about an apple, which is only Tuma Midirabanan, a Chuma Dirabanan, rather. So here too as well, so what's halacha? Is this Ribis Daraisa, or this Ribis Dirabanan? If I use an agent to lend my money Beribis, is that Daraisa or is that Dirabanan? So what did we say in the beginning?
It's not Daraisa, it's not Ketutza, it's not like Daraisa.
No, but we said in the beginning, that Taz, Taz says this is Ribis Ketutza, that's why I said that. This is called Ribis Ketutza, even though you use an agent, a middleman, it's Ribis Ketutza, a Ribis Daraisa, which would mean Ein Brera Beribis Daraisa. So I can't say that my money is going to a non-Jew. You don't have that right to say such a thing. So therefore, there's a big problem. So write to Lechem upon him. Lechem upon him writes. This is three lines down in the Lechem upon him. He quotes the Shem Harivash, which the Taz quoted. Dehave ribis deraisa, ubi deraisa lo amrinan brera. I can't say that my money is going to go to a non-Jew. I don't have such a right because it's an iser deraisa. And then he writes to the last five lines now, the Lechem upon him, the Gam Khan, here as well. Osin hashtar al shem hashutvin hamalvin. When the Chase writes the document to give out the mortgage, they say whoever's money is in Chase, which includes my money and your money, all the partners have a certain chalik in this ribis that's being lent out. And since it's a document, we say once there's a shtar involved, there's no heter of using a middleman. V'lachein l'fiani es daiti, says Kitta Shulchan Aruch, ein kan shum heter. There is no heter to leave money in a savings account at this stage, and then the person wants to be mekel, you have to bring a raya.
This is even if the bank is completely goy-owned because they're also making mortgages to Jews? Is that what?
Yes, because once I put my money in the bank, so now there's a certain stock that I have of the bank, and every loan that goes out, I have a certain chalik. Although it's small, it's a chalik.
So you should put money in anti-Semitic banks. So it's not going to loan out the Jews.
Oh, that could be one way around it.
They wouldn't take your money either. Only Nazi
banks. So we're going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to corporations. Yeah, so we'll get to that. So now comes along Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson. So he was a contemporary of the Kitta Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote a number of important volumes on Tshuva Shaul Meshiv. And he writes, he's having a correspondence with Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitta Shulchan Aruch, and he's trying to convince him that he should permit one to place money in his savings account. Why? So reading the bold, he says, Lo mi bai l'shitas Rashi, needless to say for Rashi, who says, Da'al yidei shliach mutter, that using an agent is completely mutter, Al kopanim yidei shliach, Af l'cholken al Rashi, even those who argue in Rashi, kan, Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Deha ein mevura shayuhudim nosim harevach la malvin hayuhudim. You don't know that my money is necessarily going to a Jew. It's so unclear. And he jumps down to the bottom now, to the next bold. Valo, kol ha'inyan hu b'shutvis. All the money is given over from Chase Bank as partnerships. Va'maos me'urav, and all the money is mixed together, the Jewish money, the non-Jewish money. Vulayin, there's a possibility HaYehudi Shelove Shenosan Hashtar Olehefech Hulokech Hamal Sheakum. The Jew who's borrowing from the bank is possibly borrowing the non-Jew's money. Hashutvin V'chein Lehefech, so to the opposite. V'ein Lomer, don't tell me Deha Ein Brera B'Deraisa. We don't say Brera on Deraisa Yisurim. Don't say that. Dezeinu, he writes in the bold. D'bedavar HaNivlal U'Me'urav. I'm not going to get involved in the sugya, but something that gets mixed. Money that's all fungible, mixed together, you cannot discern whose money is which. He says, Lo shayach inyan brayer. Brayer doesn't apply at all. Dechul shazev v'shazev v'ezes simen yesh. There's no simen whose money is whose. U'belav hachi, jumping to the end. And aside from that, nirali the kan baha issa aydei taroves. There's a chiddush here. I'm not getting involved in the tosos and tamura, but when the issa is created, it's created initially as something of a mixture. Then the halachas of Brera don't necessarily apply to which he concludes it should be permitted. Once you put money in a savings account, it should be permitted to leave the money there, even though it's being lent out to Jews ribis. And look at the last line, what he writes, that he wasn't successful in this last line, page number 3. He writes on the top, Karchach lefianias daiti haheter barer. It's completely permitted and clear. V'nislach l'chaladas b'nei Yisrael ha'osim kein. And everyone who did this are forgiven. U'ledaiti k'sheyachzer v'yadfis yadfis sheyachazer bo mizeh. He tried convincing the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch when he does a new edition to redo it with the correction of it being muter lagamre, to which he never did. The final 14th edition that he came out with in his lifetime, he never changed, and he stuck to it and said it was also to leave money in a savings account. But again, the Shulam Meshiv thought it was permitted. How do you paskin? So we still have to come back to corporations and banks, but right now, before getting to corporations, how do you paskin? So the Bris Yehuda is Rav Yaakov Lau. Rav Yaakov Lau, who I told you last time, he was an investment banker in Eretz Yisrael and a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He wrote a Svarim up there. It's, where did they go? Oh, yeah. The second column, second row down, there's around 8 Svarim, black Svarim. Mm-hmm. They're on Choshen Mishpah. They're very, very important halachas. When I've discussed Rav Shechter, Choshen Mishpah halachas, he always tells me, go there first, look in the sugya there. So he's a separate sefer called Bris Yehuda, which is this fat on ribis alone. So if you look at Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, who has a sefer, he's an English book, on ribis, most of the stuff was taken from this sefer Bris Yehuda. So he writes as follows. This is how you paskin. Number 8. Chevra, O bank, Sherov Minyosov Haim Bidei Akum. If it's a bank that's mostly owned by non-Jews, Das Rov Hachronim, most of the Achronim Paskin Lahatir LiYisrael Lilvos Mi Bank Kazeb Ribis. You are allowed to take out a mortgage from such a bank, even though there might be some stocks by Jews, you're allowed to. Then he writes in the footnote here, Ha'ar Memhei, when you look carefully in the Achronim near Sheruba, most of them actually say lo not to lahatir. They're not really inclined to say mutter. They want to just limit zechus for those who are mekel. But he concludes masik shelechadchila yesh la'asos heter iska. You should write a heter iska in all situations, even though it's a bank that might be only minority shareholders of Jews. Even then, a heter iska should ideally be used. Now, in most cases, since ribis is so complicated. I probably mentioned this in the past, a few weeks ago, I had a shaila about a certain partnership person had. He wanted to know whether he required a heter iska. And to me, what a heter iska is, which we're doing next week, is in essence turning a loan into a partnership. That's where you're trying to create two partners, and partners allowed to have a partnership. So this particular case was clear to me as a partnership, and there's no need for an additional heter iska. Even though the guy was willing, he gave money, he loaned money, he was the investing partner, and he was lending money on ribis. But he's also taking upon himself some of the liability, actually all the liability, and some of the returns. So that sounds like very much a partnership. I said to him, it's pashut to me that you don't need a heter iska, but I really don't know the halachas. And I called Rav Wulig. Rav Wulig says, you have to speak to a lawyer. So even things that seem so clear, they're not always so clear. So they're always going to say, always use a heter iska in every case. It's just the safest thing to do, because they're so complex.
It seems to me that the Torah is really trying to tell us that we should be doing, I heard some shiurim on this, that it's really good for your income. The Torah is really trying to tell us that we should be giving interest-free loans to Jews, and that's really the best thing for your parnasa. I heard a whole shiur.
Must have been mine 2 weeks ago that you heard.
The Chofetz Chaim sent out this this rabbi who was teaching.
But yeah, either for sure. The whole, for sure,
but
is a big Indian. Yeah, for sure. The idea is a huge mitzvah. We said when we gave this shiur a few weeks ago, giving a loan is a greater mitzvah than giving tzedakah, interest-free loan. Okay, so that's up until Rav Moshe Feinstein comes along, though. So up until now, it's very complicated, not so clear that a person could leave money in a savings account, because again, the bank takes your money, lends it out to other Jews, beribis, and there's a challenge there. Unless you use a heter iska, many banks probably will not allow you, a big bank will not allow a heter iska. They don't know what it is, they're not interested in it. Actually, interesting that in Saudi Arabia, the Muslims also don't do ribis. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy from Tinek, Grunstein, so he's a lawyer. So he worked there for Usher Weiss, and he created a heter iska for the Muslims for Saudi Arabian banks to use. Mm-hmm. They didn't like our heter iska. They thought it was like a really is really just circumventing the halacha. So he created some type of language
really?
Where the Muslims in Saudi Arabia would be okay with such a language.
Stricter.
And I don't know the details of it, to create a hetariska, to get around it, to make it into partnership, allowing collecting on interest.
Does Bank Leumi do a hetariska for you?
They do. I think it's a hetariska klali, which we'll get to hopefully next week, the difference between a klali one versus a prati one. Okay, either way, so Ramosha came along now and said as follows. Ramosha writes in number 9. He says, "Bedavar bank shel shomrei Torah eich inahagu balavoseim." This was a shiloh that was asked, originated somewhere in London. So he was speaking about American banks, and he wasn't sure what happened in London exactly. But what's halacha if a Jew owns a bank? What's the best procedure? So he writes, I'm jumping to the bold again. Lachain, he goes through a whole discussion why het isker doesn't work. That's not for this week, but he concludes that b'midinaseinu lo shayech lifnei bank la'asos heter iska klali. You can't write a general heter iska statement for whatever the reason is. So what's the approach? If you own a bank, how do you lend money out? So he writes, going on to page number 4 now. Aval hinei ani amarti chiddush b'inyan iseribis. Says Ramosha, I'm writing a tremendous chiddush in the halachas of ribis. V'hula daiti, according to my opinion, it's barur l'dina. This is a halacha you could all rely on. B'davar zeh, sheruba deruba de'inshi manichin ma'osein. Most people leave their money b'midina seinu, b'abank, they leave money in their bank like we all do. V'nolin haribis, they take the money and the interest. Shenosin b'chol bank. U'bifrat b'elu shenikru. What does that mean? Anyone says the next
savings
word?
Bank.
There you go. Savings bank. So what we do is savings bank. Those are always the hardest ones to read. So we all leave money in savings banks. So the stam, jumping to the bowl now, the stam malve hare ika shibud haguf. So why? Normally a malve has a shibud haguf, a personal liability. Sheyesh al gufol shalove. He has a lien on the love. Af shein lo klum chayv l'shalom. Even though the Lova may not have any money to pay, he's got nothing left in his property, no assets, not nothing. So still, he has a chiv to pay, as the Gemara tells in Ksubas, Priyas Bal Chov Mitzvah. If you take out a loan, you must pay it. There's a mitzvah to repay your loan, even though you have no property anymore. And there's no shibud, there's no lien on your property. As a person, you have personal liability, you have to do what you can to pay back your loan. V'yesh alav, and on this individual, the Lova, Chayiv lehasig maos aide puli. He has to go get a job and make money to pay back your loan. Vishar nyanim l'shalim. Anything else he could do to ask for money to pay back his loan. Uch shelo yishalim. And when he doesn't pay, avar al chiyuvo. He violates the mitzvah of paying back a loan. Ume high time. From this reason, ika bizayon halove kishemes. Now, if a lova dies and he didn't pay back the outstanding loan, there's a bizayon for his and his family. Even though he has nothing to pay, there's still a bizayon for the family not having to pay, having paid a loan. And the chayin, damar bai holds mitzvah al hayasomim lefroachov avim mishum kvod avim. The orphans, even though there is no shibud on the property of orphans, when a father dies and leaves behind yasomim, there is no shibud on the yasomim's property. But still, Abai says the Yisom have to pay because of the bizayon that's for the father who didn't pay the loan he owes. So therefore, there's a personal liability on the lover to pay back. Now jumping further, go jump to the end of the page number 5. Now the end of Ramosha's Tshuva. He writes, I'm reading the bold again, Umimela near, now he says, after proving that there's a personal liability on each individual lover, he concludes, this is page number 5, Mimela nira shirak b'sta malva, it's only by a typical malva, she'ose chiv tashumim al halove, when there's an obligation for the lover to pay. That's when there's nesra b'tora milikach ribis. That's when there's issa to collect ribis. Aval milva kazu, this type of loan, she'ose shum chiv al guf ha'adam l'shalim. When it comes to a bank, there's no individual in the bank. Remember, who's the malva lover in this case? You're the malva. When you put money in the bank, you're the malva now. The lova is paying you back interest. So now the bank is a lova. There is no personal liability on any one individual in the bank. No one's chayv to pay begufo. And therefore he says, she'av she'esh lo mamon harbe, even though there's a lot of money in the bank, ein al gufo shum chiv l'shalim. There's no personal liability on one individual. And there's no mitzvah of priyas chov bal mitzvah for the bank. And when the bank doesn't pay, they're not called a Russia. There's no din of Russia. In that case, he says, lo nemar al ze iser ribis. When the lova is not a personal, it's not a person, but it's a entity, then there is no iser ribis. So you are allowed to leave your money in a savings account, he says. V'chein hu inyan ha-bank, she-bimineasenu ba-America, she-guf ha-baylam, she-bank, einam m'chuyav klum. Even the partners, they're not chayv to pay personally. Le'elu she-nichu ma'osein ba-bank, for those who leave their money in the bank. Af imiz damen shelo yeh ba-bank ma'os l'shalim. Even if they go bankrupt, and there's no money left in the bank, l'chein, there's no personal liability. V'lachein leke isaribis, af k'she-bank, who shall Yisrael? Even if the bank's owned by a Jew, since there is no personal liability, you are allowed to leave money in the savings account. Okay, that's very good for leaving money in the savings account. So the problem is, other direction, let's say you want to now take out money, you want to take out a mortgage from a bank. So is that going to work the same way? Can I now take a mortgage out from this entity, from this corporation? So look at the last verse, right? Look what he says. Exactly, right. Now in this case, if I'm the lova, I do have a personal liability. I need to pay back the bank. I'm not an entity. They're the entity. But we look at the lova. Is the lova an entity or is he an individual? So that's what Rav Moshe says. Don't get confused. Aval Tam Zed, this reasoning of his, Eino moil lahatir lilvos me'a bank. It doesn't permit you to borrow from the bank. Kishu shel Yisraelim, when it's from a Jewish-owned bank. Im halove hu ish prati, if the borrower, which is us, taking money out for the house, if an individual, sheyesh alav shibud haguf, we have a personal liability, and we have an asay, the priyas balchov l'shalim. And that's how he concludes. So we're allowed to leave money in any bank, that's completely permitted, but when you take out money from the bank, there's a big, big problem. So it's very challenging. So look what the Bris Yehuda writes. The Bris Yehuda writes, and then we'll read of Reisman, what he writes. In number 10, Bris Yehuda doesn't quite define it for us, but he does say there's a machlokas here. He says, well, this is the other way around, actually. Let's just jump to Rabbi Reisman, I guess, number 11. Rabbi Reisman writes, although one may rely on the lenient ruling of Rav Moshe Feinstein, like we just saw, it's preferable that a heter isker be used. Even in those cases, it's always best to use heter isker. Fine. Now, even those who permit, because there are those who argue in Rav Moshe, there are many who say that even though there is no personal liability on the bank, for me to leave money in the savings account, it's still usur according to others. So it's machlok is whether you're allowed to leave money. But he said you're allowed to rely on Rav Moshe, but again, preferable to use a heta iska to be choshish for the others who argue on Rav Moshe. Now, then he writes again where Rav Moshe writes himself, even those who permit a corporation to pay ribis for its loans, that the bank could pay me my interest, they would prohibit a corporation from collecting ribis from Jewish borrowers unless I had their iskas use. So I cannot take out a loan from a bank because I'm paying them ribis, I'm paying them interest. Well, that's what Rav Moshe writes. So what do you do, Lamaisa? So he writes now, then the last source here, I guess we'll end a little early today. He says, in fact, many mortgage companies are owned by Jews, including some of the well-known national chains. We just said the Quicken Loans is apparently owned 77% by Jews. So Halacha prohibits a Jew from securing a loan through these institutions unless a heter isker is used. Unfortunately, many of these firms refuse to accommodate their Orthodox Jewish customers by using a heter isker. Now, since a borrower cannot use a heter isker without the consent of a lender, I can't write a heter isker if the lender doesn't know without a bank knowing, so that doesn't work. So those who wish to avoid ribis, I'm not sure those who wish to, all of us, we wish to avoid ribis, may not borrow from these institutions. We're not allowed to. It is the consumer's responsibility to research the ownership of the institution with which he is dealing or to consult a rabbi who is familiar with the status of the lending companies in the area. Not simple at all.
But what about if the mortgage company, if the mortgage broker, he's not making the loan, he's just facilitating the loan?
Now, if the Jew is facilitating the loan, that's fine. The question, where does the money come from?
Yeah, right.
So in the end of the day, if you have a, it sounds like this, if you have a bank that is mostly owned by Jews, like Quicken Loans, I'm not sure there are other ones out there, then it would seem to be a problem. If, however, it's the only minority shareholding of Jews, then there seems to be there would be a heter to take out a loan from such a bank. But it's not so posh. I don't know how to look into this. I'm not sure if this stuff is in public or not. But
I heard a shiur from Rabbi Frankel who was teaching a Moshe Feinstein shiur. There's something along the lines of why it's permitted. you know, this is serious stuff, you know, don't quote me on this, but my understanding was, he gave an answer that, who says that the money that you're paying back on your house is even approaching the interest? Maybe that's just the principal, and there was this whole discussion like that.
Even though the majority
of your payments for the very beginning of the loan are all interest and it's not touching the principal, it didn't matter.
No, but you borrow $500,000, by the end of the time you pay like $1 million to the bank, double the amount. So I don't know. Either way, it's not pushed. So those who want to get mortgages should certainly look into the banks. Who owns the banks? There's what to talk about.
So what about Citibank? Anybody know?
I don't know the details of them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If the bank has a minority shareholder who has a weight in decisions of the bank,
correct. You are correct also. That's correct. Right. Right. Exactly. What he's saying is that, let's say there's a minority. We say there's a minority owned by Jews, then there's a heter to borrow from such a bank. But if that minority has a very strong, they're a big partner, you know, the percentage-wise, they have a small amount, but they make decisions, that would also create situations. So it's not so posh you could lend, borrow from such a bank as well.
Don't we say, like, if a Jew is not from a Shabbos, is an halacha that's in of a goy?
So we discussed that a few weeks ago, whether or not he's included in the same halachas. We try to be machmir and treat every Jew as a tinok shenishba, which means we have to keep the halachas of ribbis even with them.
So you have to check the borrower also, make sure he's a yid.
The borrower also.
You know, I'm saying you're lending. You know
well, you're not lending directly. We're talking right now when you're borrowing from the. Right. For me. For us, well.
A straight loan.
For myself, as a yid, can I borrow from Citibank? Can I borrow from Chase?
Can you lend, let's say you're the lender. Can you lend to someone? You have to check to make sure he's not Jewish.
For sure, yeah.
So you have to go through this whole ethos.
It would make it simpler if someone else took out the loan for you and then you took money from them.
You got the money for you and took it from them?
Yeah, it would be through the shidduch of a Jew.
Yeah, exactly. There would be a heter for that, yeah.